going on the field. It looks like they are going for two and the win. A flip to the running back. Can he get to the pylon? Yes, he can. You are listening to the Going for Two Live Podcast Network. Going for two because no one remembers the extra point.
All right, guys, what's up? And welcome to the Scott Fishbowl 13 Discord stage event. Just a couple of real quick things here. If you're new to Discord or not sure how to use it, there's a little button at the bottom where you can sort of raise your hand. If you want to ask a question, I can bring you up on stage, ask your question. Or if you wanted to share a story or a strategy or whatever you want to do as we go through, feel free to do that. It'll pop up on my screen and I can bring you on stage. I do want to mention one more time the charity link. It's in the Discord under the announcements. If you haven't donated already, please consider doing so. We're already up to, I think, a little over 1,200 right now, and we're aiming for it to beat last year, which was $2,222. So we're about $1,000 away from getting to that point. All right, so let me introduce you to the panel. Dan, are you able to talk yet?
Hello.
You're good?
I'm good.
All right. So first up, we got Eagle Dan Turner. He's from Champions Round. What's up, Dan?
Hi. How are you doing?
And you got the 101, right?
I do have the 101, yes.
And you've been taking Hurts pretty consistently in all the mocks that we've done.
Yes. I personally get myself all the credit for Hurts being the first overall in the,
in the ADP.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly. All right. Also joining us from Football Guys, and he keeps switching his pick. He was 106 with me, and then me and him both moved to 105, and then he decided to go to 103. Jeff Hasley from Football Guys. What's up, Jeff?
Hello, everyone. Thank you. Yes, I think I'm like 90% of the way locked in at slot three. But yeah, that's kind of where I am right now. Thanks for having me on.
Yep, absolutely. And I guess for this podcast, y'all can just call me G off. It's been used, you know, my entire life. So that way we can distinguish between Jeff and Jeff. All right. From Dynasty Pros, and he's a fellow 105 like myself. Dustin, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I've been a 105 this whole time, and I don't think I'm moving.
Yeah, I like the 105, too. I had the 106, and then I thought, you know what? There's that drop-off right there. I think I went the 105, so I moved up one spot. All right, from the Smoke Show podcast, he is also a 103 like Jeff. Josh Nelson, what's up, man?
Yeah, we're shaking, everyone.
You got a lot of energy, and I love it. All right.
You should see the smile on my face right now.
Last but not least.
I can hear the smile.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Oh, last but not least, Mr. Dr. James Ferretti. He's an injury analyst here at Going for Two, and he's an author of Injuries Suck, But Your Fantasy Team Doesn't Have To, which is available on Amazon. What's up, Doc?
Hey, guys. Yeah, happy to be here. And at Going for Two, no one remembers the extra point, but with the Scott Fishbowl scoring, I think people might remember the extra point.
Yeah, we're 3.3 this year. Even I might have a kicker. All right, so let's kick it off right there with the scoring. And Dan, I'm going to go to you first here with some of your thoughts, just overall your thoughts on the scoring, and how did it change your strategy at all?
Well, I think the first major point is no negative repercussions for interceptions or anything like that. I think that makes it seem like you could take more of a gamble on, quarterbacks that might be a little more turnover prone, now that it won't come back to bite them. And also for kickers too. Yeah. I think that, them not being penalized for missing a kick.
Yeah, that's big. Because last year that was a big thing.
It's something that isn't really talked about at all, especially with the 3.3 points for an extra point. I mean, I know we don't do extra points at Going for Two, but in Scott Fishbowl, it's something that could definitely add up pretty quickly. So I think those two factors in turnovers and kicking is where we'll see the biggest change for the rules for me.
Yeah, kicking is definitely something even I'm considering. Now, I'm in a sleeper league, so I have to have at least one kicker, so I will take advantage of that. But, kickers are definitely more valuable this year than they were last year. With 3.3 for extra points, it's that's a pretty good deal right there. Dustin, what are your quick overthoughts of the scoring changes this year?
Yeah, so no negatives definitely makes rookie quarterbacks a lot more enticing. You don't have to worry about those turnovers. And even guys like Dak Prescott, who had a ton of turnovers the past 2 years, makes them definitely more appealing. But I'm really interested in this 1 point per first down. When I started looking at it, like, Josh Jacobs had 93 first downs. Number two on the running back list was Chubb with 69, like an extra almost like 30 points. Wow. That's a good chunk. So when you start seeing guys who have those outliers, and I think when you look at wide receivers, it definitely brings some guys closer. So the AJ Brown, Devonta Smith talk, you're talking 57 for Smith, 59 first downs for Brown. It makes them a lot closer in this scoring.
Yeah.
For me anyway.
Very good point. Very good point. Josh, let me go to you real quick. Give me your quick overviews when you first saw the scoring for the Scott Fish Bowl this year.
Oh, one thing stood out to me, and that was tight ends.
Yeah.
And that really changes my strategy none, because this will be the third year in a row that I'll be drafting a tight end at 103. So this is just fantastic. But yeah, tight ends, this is great. But speaking to your guys' points about the loss of negative aspects of the quarterback game, one thing that you mentioned in the chat earlier, Jeff, was quarterback two by committee. And that's the big thing I'm going to be shooting for this year. Late stacks, more things at value, so I can really focus on the more elite pieces up top.
Agreed. Yeah, I like that. And just for those that came in a little bit after the initial startup, if you missed it, at the bottom of your screen, if you're on mobile, it might be a little bit different. There should be a little hand where you can raise your hand, ask questions if you want, be brought on stage, just to let anybody know if y'all want to jump in at any time to talk. Jeff, let me get your thoughts real quick on just an overview of the scoring.
So, yeah, I think what Dan already mentioned, the kicking is going to be interesting. I mean, that last year and the year before when kickers were introduced, I did not draft a kicker and I never even started a kicker. Here, I think that you could have a kicker as one of your 11 players on your roster easily. Yeah. I mean, if you think about just the extra points alone, if you've got someone like McPherson or Tyler Bass or something, someone who's going to have like 45, 48, 50 extra points in a season, that's an extra 80 points.
It's a big chunk, yeah.
Right there. So, I mean, that goes a long way. And that's not even including the field goals.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if he misses one. So I think kickers are you know, someone that you could get away with drafting at least one, maybe two, and be able to start them. I don't know what the kicker waiver wire situation is going to be like. It usually seems like there's always someone, you know, maybe Jake Moody comes in, of age really quickly in San Francisco, and maybe he's not drafted at all. And maybe he's someone that you could get on waivers, but I don't know. I'm spending too much time on kicking here, but
we did the same thing last year. It seemed.
Yeah. But the tight end role, as Josh mentioned, an extra point per first down and an extra point per reception. So not only do you have, so how much is it for a 12-yard gain or a 12-yard first down? It's 3.2 points?
Yeah.
That's almost 5 points.
Right? I mean, that's what we're looking at. So, I mean, tight end, having Travis Kelce is really someone to think about in the first couple picks even. And as important as quarterback is, so is having a good tight end. Now, if you could find the next tight end who's going to come out of nowhere and be a top 12 tight end that you can get later after round 11, 12, when you have your starters already, and that's going to be a huge feather in your cap.
Yeah.
You know, a guy like Mike Gesicki, who I really like this year, perhaps Juwan Johnson. Yeah. Now he's combined with Derek Carr, who we know that Carr likes the tight end. There's all kinds of different things that you can do tight end by committee and hope that you find the right one out of two. There's a lot that you can do there, but yeah, the scoring is just it's going to be video game style.
Yeah, exactly. Real quick, Jim, let me get you a chance to talk about the scoring real quick, and then we do have somebody that wants to go on stage and talk, so I'll get them on as well.
Yeah, so you guys touched on a lot of it. I think one of the things with quarterback, as far as the 6 point passing touchdowns, like that's, you know, that makes a big difference as far as like your quarterback too. But even not even talking about tight ends in the top tier, like we already know that like Travis Kelce is a semi god. Now he's been elevated to maybe true god status. But like, what if I told you that somebody like, oh, I don't know, like Greg Dulcich, you know, could potentially outscore like wide receiver twos on any given week. That kind of stuff is really going to throw people for a loop. And this is going to be one of those drafts. Like, it's not going to happen to anybody here because you guys are here and you're taking the time to learn these things. But if you go into this thing without understanding the scoring and how things have changed, may God have mercy on you because nobody else will.
Yeah. And just a little bit of a feather in our cap. I don't know if y'all knew this or not, but the guy that won the entire thing last year was in this same group last year. So it does work, apparently, because he won the whole damn thing. So,
all right. Yeah, and before we get too far, I think it's worth mentioning that if you're playing on Sleeper, you have to play one kicker, but you can only play one. And if you're on an MFL league, you don't have to play one, but you can play up to four.
Yeah.
So it will vary based on where you're playing. And I don't think the slow drafts have been decided on what platform they're playing yet. So that could change how you draft kickers. If you're on Sleeper, you only need to draft one. You don't need to draft two or three.
Yeah, I'm a host of the DC live draft, and I'm in a chat with all the people that are doing the host. And Sleeper is pretty much across the board. There are a couple leagues that are mixing it up where two of them are MFL, two of them are Sleeper. I think there is one that's doing all MFL, but for the most part, most of the lives are going to be on Sleeper. So that's going to be interesting because last year there wasn't quite as many live drafts as there were this year. So it'll be interesting to see how that dynamic works out with MFL and Sleeper being a little bit different scoring. All right, Josh has been waiting patiently over here. Let me get Josh up here real quick. I'm assuming I did that right. I think I let him on stage. I guess we'll find out in a second here.
I'm like, is he talking about me?
Yeah, no, sorry. Different Josh. Different Josh.
There's more?
Let's see if I can. Yeah, the invite was sent, but I don't know. Maybe he can't figure out how to get on stage or not. Okay, we'll just keep. We'll move on, and then if he gets if he figures it out, then we'll let him on. Yeah, so my thoughts, and I don't think y'all touched on it really, the rushing, the 0.25 for rushing, and you add that to a quarterback, you know, like a Lamar Jackson or Jalen Hurts for that matter. I mean, with that quarterback sneak. Quarterback sneak now, if you get the first down, it's worth, you know, what, 1.25 points basically for falling forward. And Jalen Hurts fell forward more than anybody else last year. So that's a lot of points that are going to add up really quick. So that's what kind of stood out to me. And that's why I switched my strategy when at the 105 or the 106, I was getting Burrow. I moved up to 105 so that I can get LJax, you know, if he's there at the 105. And so far in all the mocks, he has been there. So yeah, that's the thing that stood out to me. We do have another person requesting to come on stage here, so let me get them on board.
While you're doing that, Jeff, in addition to Jalen Hurts being someone to get those quarterback sneaks, we also have to look at Richardson too. Now with Shane Steichen, who initiated that whole offense and that structure and that strategy. So absolutely, he's someone that we need to definitely think about. And he is a huge wild card because of what his current ADP is now versus what it might be later and what we don't know right now. Like, we don't have clarity on, hey, is he going to start week one? How much is he going to play? I think we have to assume that he will, but there's still that level of uncertainty there that keeps us from wanting to take him higher.
Yep, absolutely. All right, Jay Orange 4, what you got for us?
He's muted.
Let me see.
Yeah, I figured, man, this was just a quick question while he figures that out. Can you guys hear me okay?
I can hear you a little bit. You kind of muffled a little bit.
Does this matter?
Your mic is muted, at least on my side. I don't know if that's affecting anything.
No, I think you're hearing Josh.
Oh, I'm hearing Josh. Where's Josh at? Am I hearing somebody else on here on stage?
No, I just had a quick question if you guys can hear me.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead. Now I see Josh. I had my screen minimized. I couldn't see everybody on the screen.
Yeah, you did. So I've been super busy. I'm sure I'm not the only one. What are the biggest differences in scoring this year and last year?
I wasn't able to catch any of that. Were y'all able to catch that?
Yeah, yeah. Biggest differences in scoring were from this year to last year.
I think it's the no negatives, right?
Oh, it has to be.
Yeah, I think
The no negatives, the fact that later quarterbacks can still be productive and you don't have to worry about getting negative points for a quarterback like you did last year.
Yeah,
that's a big thing. The kicking rules or points that we talked about as well, no negative points there. That's just the huge thing is just the no negative points, and therefore it opens up a new level of players that you could potentially target, especially later in the draft.
All right, good stuff. The J Orange 4 is still muted. If you look, I don't know if you're on a monitor or if you're on a mobile device, but bottom left corner on my screen is where you can mute yourself and unmute yourself. There we go.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was having all kinds of connection. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I couldn't hear anything. So it's my bad there. Sorry about
all
that.
All good. What you got for us?
Oh, no, it's just I was trying to actually just jump on to everybody, say hi to my guy, Dustin, on the thing. So, yeah, sorry about that. My bad, just jumping on there and hit too many buttons. All good. So I'm just listening to you guys.
All good. Sounds good. All right.
Well, JT, good to see you, man.
Good stuff. All right. I want to pull up our ADP here that I have from all of our mocks we've been doing. Let's hope this works. I'm going to share my screen, and we're going to talk about some ADP here. And see if there's anything that we kind of noticed that's a little bit different. All right, here we go. Go live with that, and we'll make it a little bit bigger. All right, can y'all see that okay?
Yep.
All right. So let me go to you first, Jeff, real quick. As far as the ADP, and we're looking at the top, 18 right here. Anything that kind of stands out to you, just in general with guys you think are maybe too high or too low?
Well, I think that, as I already mentioned about Anthony Richardson, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to his ADP as we get closer to July. Of course, we're not getting close to August. We're getting close to July because that's when the draft is. So we may not know any more than we know right now.
Right.
Come July, right? Because,
Yeah, he's right here. At 35 is where he's being
third.
So that's really low. What quarterback is that even? That's he's into the teens, I would imagine.
Yeah, it looks like there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So he's quarterback 13.
That's kind of low for him, I think. I think he's going to increase and get up higher. Another good value that I see is Cooper Kupp as the, what is he, the 1, 2, 3, 4? Or the fourth receiver, I think?
Yeah, it looks like the fourth receiver. Justin, Jamar. Actually, he might be the third.
Is he the third?
Yeah,
he's the third. Actually, that's not too bad going after Chase Jefferson and Chase. But I can see, I've seen Kupp and Mox go like as the fifth or sixth receiver. I'm like, what?
Yeah, I mean, look at the disparity right there. I mean, he's, gone as high as 9, but gone as late as 22. I mean, that's a pretty big disparity.
Yeah. Yeah. Deshaun Watson has the same thing, too. Yep. High as 9 and low as 27. I think people are kind of focusing their efforts on what slot they want based on the first pick that they want to make. And I'm not sure if that's a good strategy or not. I'm actually kind of curious to hear what Dan thinks about that.
I mean, yeah, I agree with you. I think a lot of it is, where the first pick is, and also like a lot of people are paying attention to the third round reversal too. But I think it goes, to get into like the fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth rounds, those don't matter anymore. So it was really interesting, especially with, like people like Watson and Richardson have such disparities in their, where they're getting picked high and low. And the fact that, you're right. Like, we won't have any more information probably on most of these people than we do right now. I really think it behooves people to, not just pay attention to what you're picking in the first, first, second, third, fourth, picks, but where you're going to, what's going to be available there on your 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, because that's going to be, the meat and potatoes of your roster.
Yep, 100%, 100%. Let me go to you, Doc. You got any insight here on the ADP? I know you haven't been in too many of the mocks that we've been doing, but I know you've been kind of paying attention in the background. So what are your thoughts on some of the ADP here?
Yeah, I mean, just looking at it, I think it looks pretty good. There's so many different ways you can go with it. I think one of the things is, you know, what's the saying? It's like we don't dislike players, we dislike ADP. So I think this is going to be one of the drafts that really is going to favor people. That once you get past those kind of elite performers, tiers really flatten out in a lot of areas and a lot of positions. And the guys that are really player agnostic and they kind of recognize what the value is based on the scoring system, I think are going to have an advantage, because there are going to be guys that have really sexy names that are maybe only going to score one or two more points a week than guys that are considered to be kind of less sexy that you can get a few rounds later. And in the interim, that's where you maybe can pick up that second quarterback, that second tight end, that first tight end, whatever. And that may make the difference. Just because of the way that those guys are really pushed up in the scoring.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh, I want to go to you because you know, you've been in a lot of the mocks that I've done, and then you've actually put out a ton of your own mocks as well. And I've kind of added those into our ADP. Is there anything that you're seeing as far as guys that you might see a little bit of a value on, or guys that are dropping too low?
Yeah, well, just taking a look at the ADP here is a 22-point swing in Dak Prescott. And right now he's sitting at ADP 19 overall, and I have not, like, I'm at the 103, so I'm picking 210, and I have rarely seen him fall to the 210. So I don't know which drafts he's dropping in, but yeah, it's that's a little shocking.
Yeah, it's full of people that don't like the Cowboys, apparently. They don't want to draft the Cowboys. That are,
man, just a bunch of haters.
Absolutely. All right, I'm gonna
Tua also with 16 and 44.
Yeah, that's a big one. I Tua's one of those guys that are sort of you know,
it's a wild card.
Yeah, he's definitely a wild card, because I mean, if he's healthy all season long, if you told me Tua is healthy all season long, then he moves up my board for sure. But there's that opportunity, you know, that chance that it's not going to be like that, and you're going to lose him for a couple games with a concussion or something, and that's just, you know, it's not gonna help you out for sure.
A couple games, the whole year, the rest of his career, yeah. You know, whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Let me scroll down a little bit further here to see if we see anything else in these later rounds. Let's go down into let's actually go to the next page and see what we got here. So now we're looking at guys with ADPs in the 49-50 range. And honestly, DK Metcalf is a guy I've been snagging in a lot of those mock drafts because I think he's falling too far. I think the hate for DK has gone too far. And not only in Scott Fishbowl, but in Dynasty as well. I think I don't know what the hate is with DK. I know he had a down year as far as touchdowns last year, but touchdowns are a little bit fluky. If he gets that back on track, I think DK is going to be a huge value if he stays where he's at. What are your thoughts on that, Dustin?
Yeah, I mean, I think people were obviously shocked by Geno Smith last year. I think they're expecting Geno Smith to come back to what he has been his whole career, which is just subpar. And I think with Jackson Smith and Jigba going there, I think they expect him to take a larger role, which probably eats away from Lockett. I think they're looking at a running game. I think they're just down on that offense. It's very similar to what they're down with in Tampa Bay with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. I think people are just down them because they don't see it as a high-volume offense. I think we're seeing those guys drop quite a bit just because of that.
Yeah. Dan,
but I'm still in on all those guys. I'm getting those guys late. Yeah. I've been picking them up in a ton of drafts, and I'm loving it because you're getting guys who are seeing 100-plus targets every year, 1,000-yard guys who are going to score 5-6 touchdowns. Like, that's great production for you in the 6th, 7th round, sometimes later.
Yep, absolutely. Dan, anything you see here in these later rounds that stands out to you?
Probably DJ Moore, Drake London, even Terry McLaurin. The you know, going 78, 87, 84. These are guys that are, you know, wide receiver ones on their own teams. So, like was said previously, they're going to be great values. Even Amari Cooper at 74, 48. These are guys that are, you know, they're going to get targets, and I expect with, you know, and this is talking a little bit more strategy, but we'll probably talk about it later. But with the tight end scoring, I figure there's going to be a glut of receivers that are going to be pushed down that you can get a little bit later that are going to be really good values for you later on.
Yeah, I like that. And you know, the guys that you mentioned there, a lot of those guys are those, you know, those third down receivers, those, you know, the guys that get the first down, and you're getting that extra point added on. Like DJ Moore has kind of made a career out of that underneath stuff. And Terry McLaurin, of course, they go to him whenever they're third down. They need a big play. They go to Terry. So that extra point for a first down adds up pretty quickly. But yeah, I like those guys as well. Anything else that y'all want to mention before we move on to draft strategy, which I'm sure everybody's here is dying to hear. That's kind of the big thing. But before we move on, anybody got any other thing they want to add?
I've got two players that I'm eyeing in this as the page that you're showing here, which is like an ADP of like around 50 to 70 or to 80 or so. The two guys that I like are Calvin Ridley. I like Calvin Ridley. I think that's a good value for him. Maybe if he could drop a little bit more, I like that. But he's starting to get a lot of pub. The last full season that he had, he finished wide receiver 4. Mm-hmm. And now he has Trevor Lawrence. And, you know, we've already heard about what he wants to do this year. This is his rebound reckoning year. It's like he's no holds barred. Calvin Ridley is going to do what he can to be on top of the world.
Yeah.
And I'm all in on him. The other guy I like is Miles Sanders, just because I think Carolina is going to run him an awful lot. And after they traded McCaffrey last year, the Panthers actually led the NFL in rushing yards for running backs after week 7. So their offensive line is returning fully intact. Of course, their offense is changing a little bit with some Los Angeles swag, as well as Colts fingerprints with Reich. But if they can figure out their running game like they did last year, I think Sanders is in for a pretty good year, especially in this format where first downs are big. So I like Sanders there. And I think he's someone who's also starting to rise a little bit in ADP that I've noticed just doing mock drafts over the last even week and a half. He's starting to rise up. So those two guys are the ones that I'm targeting.
Yeah, I love Miles Sanders, too. I've been getting him in a lot of those mocks that I've been doing. Maybe I'm responsible for raising his ADP because I've been taking him. I think he's going to get a ton of volume in that offense. But bearing the lead there, if y'all didn't know, Jeff's a Carolina fan. So that's a little bit of a tongue in cheek there with Miles Sanders. But no, I definitely like him. He's one of my favorite players to draft because I think he's fallen way too late. You know, because I'm getting quarterbacks and tight ends early, and then guys like Miles Sanders are falling to me like in the later rounds, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
All right. It's either him or like in that same group, you've got James Conner, who do you really want an Arizona offensive player? You know, Cam Akers, we know about the Achilles issues. The Rams, are they going to be a super offense? With those, there's just question marks there.
Yep.
I suppose there's question marks with Sanders, too, but I kind of filled the holes there of why I think that Carolina's running game is going to be pretty good. Brandon Ayuk is another one that I really like, and he's further down. I think Ayuk is the better receiver in San Francisco than Deebo Samuel, and I think that was proven last year. And he's younger, he's more eager, he's healthier, he's more reliable. I like Ayuk as well.
Yeah, he must be way down this list because I don't even see him. Oh, there he is, 86.
86, yeah,
he's definitely way down there. Yeah, I like it. All right, let's get to some draft strategy stuff. That's what everybody here wants to hear. We haven't done our drafts yet, so I'll just start at the top here, Dan. We'll go to you. You got the 101. You know, for those that have the 101 or guys that haven't picked their draft spot yet, just tell us why you picked the 101 and what you're doing with that. You know, obviously, you're going Hurts in that first round or the first round there, but what are you doing in later rounds?
Yeah, so obviously I was going Hurts, especially with the like point per carry and like near the goal line with the quarterback sneak. He's going to run up a lot of points, I expect, like he did last year. I know it kind of gives me a little bit of a disadvantage with the third round reversal, but that doesn't bother me as much. But I just wanted, primarily I just wanted, you know, to be able to pick the guy that I wanted and not really leave it up anything to chance. And I also wanted something at the corners because I want to, you know, double dip when I can. So that's really the primarily two reasons why I took the 101.
Yeah, that's, I like it. And I thought about 101. I have yet to, I think this is my fifth or sixth Scott Fishbowl. I have yet to get the 101. You know, in years past, you couldn't pick your spot. You got chosen a spot. I think the last 3 years you could pick your spot. And I've always picked the very last spot, pick 12. Last year was the first year I did pick 7 because of third round reversal. And then this year I'm at pick 5. Dustin, let's go to you. Give me some of your thoughts here. You're a 105 like me, so I'm curious to what you're doing at the 105 spot.
Yeah, I mean, I picked it before scoring came out, but I kind of had an inkling of what scoring would be, and I wanted one of those top-tier quarterbacks. So I was looking at the top five picks for me were always going to be Mahomes, Allen, Hurts. I thought Jefferson, but now obviously now it's replaced by Kelce with the scoring, and then I get the chance to either Trevor Lawrence if I really want him, but I'm looking more at Joe Burrow, possibly Justin Herbert, but most likely Lamar Jackson. I just want that rushing upside. I think that's a great value, and I see a tier. I could move to six or seven, but I think there's a clear gap between Lamar, Burrow, and Herbert, and Trevor Lawrence. So I want to be the end of that tier. I don't want to go to the second tier of quarterbacks. And this way, I get a good quarterback in the top tier, and I'm closer when on that third round reversal.
Yeah, I like it. Josh, what are your thoughts on where you're drafting at? You're at the 103 like Jeff is.
Yes, sir. For me, two words, man. Positional advantage. Give me Travis Kelce. And if I don't get Kelce, I am going to cry for a short while. And then I'll take a consolation prize of either Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts in that order. So, you know, not the worst problem to have. But like Dan was saying, having the early pick gives you kind of control. I do like being towards the turn as well, just to have that steering advantage. But for me, I'm focusing just on the first four rounds, and if I do luck into having Travis Kelce, then it's just going to be balance. Second, third round's probably going to be the best available running back and then wide receiver or vice versa, and then see what's their QB in round four.
I like it. Let's see, Doc. I don't know if you've gotten your invite yet. I know you played last year.
Yeah, no, I got it. I'm actually 104.
104. Okay, I wasn't sure where you were at. So we got all early round people up here on stage. I'm hoping to spread out a little bit more, but that's fine. What are your thoughts on the 104, and what are you trying to do there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys hit it all a lot. I think one of the things that I can offer everybody is, you know, we're talking about the mocks and we're talking about ADP. One of the things that I'm into is like the psychology of the game. And one thing I want to kind of caution everybody about with all the mocks that everybody's doing is anchoring bias, because I saw this a lot last year, and I'm sure everybody that's been in Scott Fishbowl before will attest to this. These drafts get squirrely quick.
Yeah.
I think in my draft last year, the number one pick was Russell Wilson. That didn't go so well for that guy, but all the mocks were out the window literally at the first pick. So you don't know what you're going to see. And I heard a lot of people in the chats like, oh, I was getting this guy in the third round of my mocks and he went at the 110 and, you know, I don't know what to do and whatever. It's really just something to like be aware of. It's like have a plan, prepare, expect the best, but prepare for the worst in the sense that like you really need to understand the player pool, be flexible, and realize that there's a really, really high chance that your mock and your actual draft are going to be very disparate, probably very early.
Yeah. And the other thing that going to that mock, you know, especially with the Discord and rerunning these ton of mocks, is we're mocking with the same people. And this is a very small percentage of all the people that are in the Scott Fishbowl. So, you know, what we think might be happening, you know, in our small circle, other people are doing something totally different. So when you get them into your division now and they're thinking a totally different strategy, It kind of can mess things up a little bit and make things a little bit more interesting for sure.
I want to piggyback on that, because last year I was the 102 and I actually did two mocks with Uvtube was in my 101 in my division. And so I saw him taking Justin Herbert. So allowed me that. So if you're in a division and you see guys, invite them to the Discord, invite them to mocks so you can get a better handle of what they're doing. Like that kind of research really goes a long way, especially when you see the guys, you know, in front and behind you can really help you gain that advantage, because if they're going to mock consistently their guys, like then you can kind of get a feel for that. So invite them to Discord and send out those mocks to them, like get them involved in mocks so you can kind of get a better judge of who they are, so you don't get those real squirrely drafts come draft day.
Yeah, good point. Jeff, I'll go to you last here. Give me your strategy at the 103.
So my strategy right now is to target quarterback at the first pick, but if I decide to change my tune and go with tight end, I think what I'll do is, I think what Josh mentioned is just kind of punt quarterback until like the fourth round or so. Maybe get like a an AJ Brown or a Stephon Diggs in round two, follow that up with a running back Chubb Stevenson. And then at the tail end of round three, which is at the end because it's reversed, that's where you can get like a running back and maybe a quarterback, you know, with that turn there. So, but you're most likely going to, if you decide to go tight end early, you're likely going to have a quarterback that's Geno Smith, Derek Carr, Jared Goff, Kirk Cousins, maybe if you're lucky, maybe Richardson. So you're losing out on the higher end quarterbacks as a result of taking tight end early. And unless, of course, you take a quarterback in the second round, but then you're really kind of putting yourself behind the eight ball in terms of positional guys. So it really is a strategy that's why we mock. That's why we try things. And I've tried tight end early in a mock, and I kind of didn't like my results. So I'm not sure. I think what I might do is target quarterback with my first pick, and then tight end somewhere around. It depends. I mean, I can't really say around because it just kind of depends on when other players go before.
Right.
So like if Kittle goes or if Pitts goes, then I know that likely Goddard is going to be soon. Goddard's a guy that I'm targeting. I'm also targeting Freiermuth. I like Freiermuth a little bit later, maybe like in the sixth round, fifth round, late fifth round, if possible. Depends on how many tight ends are going. It could even be the seventh round. Like I said, it just depends on when other players are going ahead of them to kind of give you a trigger point as when you should target the guy that you want. And in order to do that, you really kind of have to study and learn. And that's what these mocks can help. And ADP, of course, as well.
Absolutely.
But like you said, once the real draft comes, who knows? Like everything gets squirrely.
Yep.
To quote what was it Josh mentioned or Dustin mentioned earlier. So yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
You never know. You absolutely never know, but you got to be prepared you have to be able to zig when others zag and just understand the flow and how you can get out of it unscathed.
Absolutely. I'm curious if there's anybody in the audience that's a later pick, since we got all early drafters here. Is there anybody like an 11 or a 12 that want to come on stage? Just hit that little button. And I'll bring you on. Give me an idea of what you're doing at the later picks there. But in the meantime, we're going to bring up some basic strategies that I've seen people use in Scott Fishbowl over the years. Obviously, we talk a lot about getting QB early because we all have early picks. But zero RB, and I know there's a guy in this group that's a zero RB truther, and that's Dan. Dan is a zero RB guy. Dan, are you thinking about going zero RB in the Scott Fishbowl, or how are you approaching that?
No, I know I am.
I'm not taking an RB before round seven at the earliest.
Wow.
So, spicy. Yeah.
Which running back would you want to target there, Dan? Who would be like your the last guy that you would take as a starter?
The last guy I would take as a starter?
Yeah, and that seventh round running back, who would you want?
That's tough.
Let's see where the seventh round running backs are.
Would you take Dalvin Cook if he was available in the seventh round?
I would take Dalvin Cook.
You would or would not?
I wouldn't. No. Give me 1 second. Let me research this
a little bit. Past drafts.
Yeah, and then I'll tell you.
A true zero RB-er would say, "I don't give a good goddamn."
So you're looking at.
I don't care at all. No. So, like, for my running back one, honestly, I'm being 100%. Like, I wouldn't mind, like, a James Conner or Alexander Madison.
Yeah, I was going to say, Madison's in that range. Rashad White's in that range. Javonte Williams, which he has some tremendous upside if he's fully healthy. David Montgomery is in there. Yeah, Pacheco is another one that's in there as well. There's a couple of really good ones in that range.
Samaje Perine, if Williams doesn't back yet. Jabal Williams in New Orleans is going to score a bunch of touchdowns.
Yep.
Like, those are the guys I'm going to be looking at, like, in round, like, 7, 8, 9 when I start looking at running backs, because... I mean, all the mocks, and we've made a good point where mocks, you know, shouldn't be trusted, really. But wide receiver value just continues to be there in the early rounds. So I'm just going to continue to take it and say thank you very much. And worry about running backs later.
Yeah, I kind of look at mocks like practice, right? I mean, you know, NFL teams, they practice things that they may never use in the game. But it's just in case it happens, you'll be ready for it. And that's what I kind of look at my
Absolutely. And I think it speaks to one of the parts of strategy we don't really talk about, but Dustin and Jeff and a lot of people here have kind of hit on, is there's a human element to these drafts, too. I mean, people have favorite players that they're probably going to take earlier or later. And, you know, mock drafting is great and gives you kind of an idea with like the ADPs and stuff. But once you get to the real thing, it never goes the way mocks do. And you have to really, you know, pay attention to who you're drafting with and how they're drafting as the drafting is going on. And that can tell you, you know, in those later rounds, you'll be able to see those values and be able to be kind of quick on your feet, even like as soon as the draft starts. Because someone's going to take, you know, someone crazy and take CeeDee Lamb at 101 or something like that, and then everything goes to shit.
Yeah.
So just pay attention to the people you're drafting with, and you know, just don't take the mocks too seriously, like everyone's been saying.
Yeah, and if you're in a live draft, you've got an extra element mixed in there as well. You have alcohol mixed in there, so who knows how it's going to be.
And even in not live drafts, I'm sure a lot of people will be drinking as well. Why do we have to not drink just because we're on a live draft?
Fair point.
What the hell, man?
All right.
I'll piggyback on that because I think there's that element of, right, if you're a zero RB-er and you're an early drafter, you have to pay attention to what's happening at the back of the draft. So if you're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and you're going, hey, I'm going to be zero RB, but then picks 8, 9, 10, first three rounds, they're going to pick, right? They're going to pick the first round after you. They're going to pick the second round before you. They're going to pick the third round before you. If they're all going zero RB, there might not be, or you might have to change up your strategy if you're an early round drafter. So paying attention to what's happening on the other opposite end of the draft from you is super important, because you have to be able to adjust on the fly. You can't just go in and go, I'm going to be a zero RB, or because if four or five teams are doing zero RB, there might not be the value that you think there is.
Yeah.
Or if everyone's doing it.
That's true. Very good point. Josh, I want to go to you because you kind of talked about taking tight end in the first round. And one of the strategies that's been used in the past is bully tight end. Are you in that? Or are you just taking Kelce and then getting value the rest of the way? Are you trying to get more than one of those top tight ends?
Hey, hypothetical situation. I get Kelce at 103. As I'm doing my happy dance, we progress along to the second and third rounds. It goes according to plan. In the fourth round, where I am earmarking a quarterback, say a Rodgers if he drops, a Geno Smith, of those like. And then Kyle Pitts is sitting there. At the 403, I don't know if I can pass him up. I mean, for those who don't know, I'm an absolute bonkers fan of Kyle Pitts. Last year, I took him at the 103. Yes, I know you can save your shocked gas. It was a terrible decision. But I don't know if I can pass him up. I honestly don't know if I can. Because of the no negative repercussions for quarterbacks this year, I'm very comfortable going late on quarterback and just punting the position entirely.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I kind of fell into bully tight end last year. I took Burrow in the first round, and I got Mark Andrews in the second. Third round comes around, and Kyle Pitts is still sitting there. So I took Kyle Pitts, and my season didn't go very well because those two tight ends didn't really do as much as I had hoped. But yeah, I kind of fell into that last year with the tight ends. Jim, I'm gonna go to you real quick because I know you know, as far as you know your strategy, at least in the mocks that I've, you know, the leagues that we've done together, you're kind of an RB guy, right?
No, I'm more of either a hero RB or a zero RB kind of guy.
One way or the other.
So yeah, I kind of go the other way with it.
Fair enough. You want to talk about how hero RB would work here?
Yeah, I think there's definitely a tier of running back, and it's not a huge tier, honestly. Before things flatten out, it's really, for me, it's Christian McCaffrey and Austin Eckler. Those are the guys that are in like kind of the God tier at running back. And then after that, even though you got some sexy names, they're in a relatively flat tier. There's a big drop off, number one. And then it's pretty flat. So it's going to be one of those things where if I'm drafting at the 104, I've kind of got an earmark that it's going to be a top quarterback or it's going to be Travis Kelce. And I'm probably not going to get one of those guys. So I'm going to be pretty comfortable waiting. And to see what happens. You know, we've talked about it before. Running back is one of the most replaceable positions in fantasy football, and there are guys that come from the the NetherRealm that end up finishing. I mean, Mike Davis finished as an RB1 a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I think he's, you know, working at Walmart right now or something. I don't know. Whatever, wherever he is, I hope he's doing well. But he's not in the NFL. So that's just an example of how, you know, things can change. So if you hit on one of those kind of late round running backs and you can drop that into a team where you have strength at tight end, you have strength at quarterback, you have some decent wide receivers, and all of a sudden somebody that you take in the 17th round gives you a kind of like borderline RB1, high RB2 production. Well, now you really got something.
Yeah, I like that. And I actually did an article for Fantasy Pros, just got published yesterday, and it was talking about those late round RBs that have RB1 potential. And I think 12 of the top 12, 9 of them were new to the top 12 last year from the year previous. So there was 9 exactly. New guys. It flips so quickly with the running backs, and it's, you're absolutely right with the running backs. All right, I'm going to go to you, Dustin, here with the golden question, and this is the one everybody wants to know: when are you drafting a kicker?
So for me, I look at it and I want a kicker in a good offense, right? I think that's what I'm looking at because I want those extra points, you know, 3.3. That's basically a 33-yard field goal. So I'm looking at, you know, Kansas City, Buffalo, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Dallas. And then I would like San Fran, but they got a rookie kicker. So for me, it's the 16th round is where I'm looking at a kicker. And it's either one of those top 5-6 guys, or I think there's 7 guys I like, or I just say, screw it, I'm going to wait, and I'm just going to stream the position and try to pick up based on matchups. But I'm not picking anyone before the 16th round. That's what I'm looking at, these guys who are maybe, you know, lottery ticket wide receivers or handcuff running backs. That's when I'll start taking a kicker. I can't see taking any even like Justin Tucker or Tyler Bass any sooner than that. It's too volatile of a position. I still think there's still a volatility in expected points per game. So I'm going to wait till the 16th round. I guess I wouldn't fault someone if you're late 15th to take one, but any sooner than that's too early for me.
Yeah. And you mentioned one thing there about streaming kickers. If you're in an MFL league, be very careful, because there are guys or people that out there that will take, you know, 2, 3, sometimes even 4 kickers at the end of those rounds. And then all of a sudden you're trying to stream and there's no kickers left out there. There was a league last year, I think, that, you know, they posted it on Twitter that the top kicker was a backup, like that was on waiver wires. The top kicker left on waivers was a backup kicker. So there was nothing left on the waiver wire to pick up. So just kind of know your league a little bit and make sure you don't get caught in that trap. All right, let's do some do's and don'ts. You know, everybody up here in this panel has been in at least one Scott Fishbowl, if not more. Is there anything that if you could go back and tell yourself, you know, whenever you first came in here, what you would want to do? What is that thing, Dan? What is the do's and don'ts of the Scott Fishbowl?
I would go back in time and tell myself not to draft running backs early. Sooner. No, but in all seriousness, it's just it's kind of alluded to, even as a zero RB guy, just be flexible. Most, if not 100% of all strategies will get blown up within the first 2 rounds. So just be able to be, you know, go with the flow, be like water, and just be able to, you know, have, you know, plan B, C, all the way up to like plan P, K, whatever. Just have multiple options, and don't be scared of runs. There's going to be runs that happen and people are going to panic and you're going to take, you know, the last of a run. But instead, you know, doing that, maybe take, you know, a position that might be a little bit higher that might score more. So just have fun and be flexible, I'd say.
Absolutely. Jeff, we haven't heard from you in a while. You got any do's and don'ts you want to share with us?
So I would say the first kind of rule of thumb is not to take a third quarterback until you have all 11 of your starters, because that just kind of doesn't make sense. At least I kind of go with that that philosophy. Why would you take a third quarterback when you still don't, you can't fill your roster yet? There's exceptions to that, but I generally use that philosophy. What else? What else I was going to say? You want to target players on strong offenses. We know that. Try to stay away from the weaker offenses like like Arizona or perhaps Houston or, you know, some team that you're not quite sure of. But at the same time, I think you should also be able to target players that could potentially, you know, develop and grow on one of those teams. Maybe late round, like a Michael Wilson or a Nico Collins on Houston, who might be the wide receiver one. Michael Wilson in a deep, if you really look deep, he could potentially be the number one wide receiver in Arizona. We don't know what's going to happen with their situation. Marquise Brown has foot injuries and problems, so who knows there? But I guess my big thing would be not to take that third quarterback before you fill the rest of your starters.
Yeah, you had said that on a podcast that used to be on the Going for Two Live Network that Dan and Jay were on. The podcast with Upside, I was listening to that, and you mentioned that not to take your third quarterback until you have all your starters. And it made so much sense because you have so many flex positions to fill. If you take that third quarterback, he's basically a bench player and you haven't even filled your roster out yet. So I agree with that 100%. Unless, like you said, unless some crazy quarterback falls and you just have to take the third quarterback, then you can do it. But yeah, agreed.
This is probably a good time to ask the panel, what do you guys think? Trey Lance or Brock Purdy?
So
neither.
Don't do this to me, man.
Neither. If you had to pick one,
as the resident 49ers fan here, I'm taking Brock Purdy for what it's worth.
It's obviously Sam Darnold. That's the answer.
I'm on the Trey Lance bandwagon. I think he's the better quarterback, and I think he will get playing time this year. I don't think they can go the season without playing Trey Lance at some point. Now, Brock Purdy may start week one, but if he falters at all, I think we see Trey Lance pretty early.
Yeah, it's a good point. Very, very hard to draft right now.
No clarity there.
Somewhere. I don't know if it's going to be San Francisco, but he's got top 10 upside. And if he's going to be playing somewhere, at least a really good chance he's going to be playing somewhere, and he's got that kind of upside, I'm very interested.
Yeah, absolutely. Doc, since you're already on the mic here, go ahead and give us some of your do's and don'ts here.
Right. So one of the do's is it's actually a don't give up. I mean, it's a grind this season. Like, the draft is super fun and everybody comes out and they're full of enthusiasm as far as their team is. And then they start getting injuries and running into bye weeks. They hit a little bit of bad luck. And then towards the end of the year, there's a decent percentage of teams that they're not even making waiver pickups anymore. So, you know, if you're one of those teams that, you know, you're kind of on the cusp, like, that could be the difference between you making the playoffs or not, is just kind of staying in the fight, standing in the fire, and not quitting on the team, even if you hit a few bumps in the road. Then a don't is don't entirely lean into upside. It's okay to take some safe picks every now and then. Yes, it's a big tournament. It's 3,500 people. But you don't have to hit the absolute nuts to win the tournament. You have the benefit of waiver pickups. It's a long season. It's not best ball. And a lot of people that are here or out there, they play best ball, and, you know, you want to win best ball mania. You have to hit the absolute nuts and beat 125,000 other people. Like, this is not that. So, you know, there are a lot of teams that I saw last year where it was like, this team's either going to finish in first or it's going to finish in last. Well, a lot of them finished not in first. So you really don't have to lean entirely into upside. It's okay to take two players from the same backfield. It's okay to take a backup. It's okay to take a safer floor player if you have some other higher upside players mixed in there. It's okay to not have everybody potentially be the number one player at their position on your roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm a big DraftKings player. And if you actually look at some of the rosters that get built that win the Millie Maker, they have a lot of the quote unquote chalk guys in their roster. So taking those safe players mixed in with those high upside guys is what you really want to do. You don't want to just take all upside, because they're not all going to hit their upside. You got to get some of those safe players as well. So yeah, I agree with that as well. Let's see, who haven't we gone to yet? Dustin, give us your do's and don'ts.
Yeah, my one big do and thing I would go back and tell myself is don't miss that first round of waivers. We're drafting in July. We're drafting as training camps are starting. And by the time that first round of waivers is going on, there's going to be a lot of guys on your bench that are just not worth having anymore. And there's going to be a lot of guys on waivers that you need to pick up. And so don't miss that first round. It's going to be early. It's going to be before the season starts. But that's a
anybody know when round. It is?
I don't think we know yet.
September 6th.
Okay.
Now everybody here knows. So one of you guys in this room needs to win Scott Fishbowl now, because we know that now.
So like, don't miss that, because there's going to be guys out there that are going to be on waivers that have won the job in camp, you know, in preseason, that are going to be poised for volume and production. They're going to be on your waivers. And if you miss that opportunity, you don't get them. So be prepared for that first round of waivers. I was not last year. My team suffered because of it.
Yeah. And to piggyback on that as well, you know, this, the rosters are so big. Don't be afraid to drop your fab on a player that you really truly believe in. Or if, like me, my very first Scott Fishbowl was the Andrew Luck retirement, and I had Andrew Luck. So I had to drop my entire fab budget on getting Brissett that year. So that kind of happened to me. And then I 2 years ago, I fell into the J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. I had both of them on my roster. They got hurt the same day. So I've had some really bad luck over the years. But yeah, don't be afraid to go all in on the player if you really think he's going to be worth it going forward. Because honestly, it's so deep that there's not going to be a lot of those guys out there like you in your regular leagues. You might see those. It's not so well as in Scott Fishbowl. All right, Josh, you're last year. Give me your do's and don'ts.
A big don't, just don't get cute, man. Like, this is still a draft. All the regular draft rules apply. Just know the scoring. Have some direction. Do as many mocks as you can, because that'll give you good, and try different strategies. Don't just go for the same bloody strategy every time, because then you are defeating the purpose of the mock draft. So get in a ton of mocks and just go for different things. Try out different stuff. See what works. See what you can live with. If you have to make a choice between two players, make the choice for one. Are you able to live without that other guy? That'll tell you. And it's consequence free. It's a mock. But do have fun, man, and participate in the group chats, your division chats. I still have my division chat going from Scott Fishbowl 11, man. Shout out Allison Chain's division. It's great. The sense of community building and charity is the greatest part of this. And this isn't draft strategy, but just do it. That's a do.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm with you 100% on that one. That's what I was going to say, is make sure you enjoy it. You know, I know everybody wants to win it, but realistically, it's going to be very difficult. But enjoy the whole thing. And this, honestly, this is the best part. I think, you know, leading up to the draft and then into the drafts as well, when everyone's posting their rosters and I got this guy late and I got this guy here and all that stuff. It makes it so much, you know, more fun than some of your regular leagues this time of year. And it gives something to do in July, because July is definitely the worst month normally for fantasy football. But when you got Scott Fishbowl, it makes it so much better. And then another one of my others, you know, do's and don'ts, is basically don't follow the ADP of whatever platform you're on, because those ADPs are brought usually from Dynasty, like Sleeper does Dynasty, you know, and they have some of the rookies ranked a little bit too high. MFL is almost all Dynasty ADP. So be careful with the ADP. You know, don't just pick the next top guy, you know, that's on the ADP, because that may not be the top guy that you want to get. And then I know a lot of us in here are Dynasty people. Don't fall in love with the rookies either. I know we all see those rookies, you know, falling to us, and we're all excited about them for our Dynasty teams. But realistically, you know, the majority of them are going to struggle early on and potentially even their whole entire first season. So be careful with the rookies. You know, take them late, but don't take them too early and screw yourself and have a really good Dynasty team, but a terrible redraft team. All right, guys, that wraps everything up. We'll go around the room one last time, and I'll let you kind of give us your Twitter handle. And if you wanted to plug anything that you're working on as far as content, we'll go to you first, Dustin.
Yeah, so you can find me at Twitter at the D Unit, so THEDUNIT 13. I'm doing a giveaway. I do a giveaway a week. I've got a banner from the draft, so I cut out each team's logo. Doing a giveaway a week, so this week's the Vikings. So you just have to retweet and follow me for that. I also want to say shout out to Jason Snyder. I see him here in the chat. Hope you're doing well. Hope your dad's doing all right. But thanks for having me on. And I will say, for Scott Fishbowl, just like, connect with people. Like, it's all about community. Enjoy the community aspect of it, and you'll enjoy Scott Fishbowl a ton.
Absolutely. Jim.
Hey, guys. So you can find me here at Going for Two. You can find me on Twitter at TFSDoc. And we mentioned the book that I wrote on injury analysis. Injuries suck, but your fantasy team doesn't have to. So, you know, give that a look if you're interested in that. I think you'll find it really helpful. One thing that I can say about Scott Fishbowl is go slow. Like, enjoy the draft. Enjoy the people. So many people last year were just in a rush. It's like, you're on the clock. You're on the clock. You're on the clock. Like, yeah, I get it. But what are we racing to get through so I can go back to staring at my dynasty rosters that aren't going to change between now and September? Like, it's a great experience. Enjoy it. And thanks everybody for showing up here. And you know, I really hope that the winner of Scott Fishbowl is in this room. If it's not me, then I truly hope that it's one of the people that's here with us right now. So thanks for coming out, and really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Jeff.
Sure. Yeah. Thanks for having me again. My name's Jeff Hasley. Appreciate everyone in the chat hanging out, listening. You can find my work at footballguys.com and. Right now a lot of it is just is rankings and writing articles preparing for the season. We don't really do too much on the Scott Fishbowl on the site, but that might change this year. We might have something going on, so that's a little
teaser.
Thank you. Yeah. So thanks everyone, and good luck. And as mentioned, Jay Snyder being in the chat, he knows I was in a league with him, the Rush League. Yes, yep. Long live Rush. But get to know your people in your league, and that's already been mentioned. But it's all about fun. It's all about charity. And if you really think about it, it's just a GPP that's going to be really really difficult to win. But if you happen to get close, you got a chance.
Absolutely.
But it's not about that. You know, it's about meeting people, having fun, and of course, you know, making money for the children. So
absolutely. And this Discord thing is kind of weird. It keeps jumping around on me. I thought I was trying to go around clockwise and it keeps moving around. So it's messing me up. But we'll go to you next, Josh.
I've been running away from you, but you haven't caught me yet. You can find my stuff on YouTube and search The Smoke Show. I'm at Smokey Hell NFL on Twitter. I'm also going to be taking my talents to the TikTok, as the kids call it, this year. I'm going to bring back my Puff Up Pass series. It's 2 starts and a sit per position per week. And do some rankings and other fun, ridiculous things that I am prone to do.
Nice, I love that name, Puff Puff Pass. I love it. I wish I would have thought of that. That is awesome.
You gotta stay on brand sometimes.
All right. Last but not least, Dan.
All right, you can find me on Twitter at EagleDanFF. Most of my content's on YouTube over at Champions Round. I don't really have anything currently going on right now. Kind of taking a little break from content. But just, you know, like everyone said, you know, have fun. Don't let the size of the tournament, like, you know, scare you. Just, you know, focus on your draft and your league and go for there. And thanks everyone for donating, and it's going to a great cause. So just have a good time.
Absolutely. All right. So I wanted to thank each and every one of you in the audience, also on the panel, for taking an hour out of your evening to spend with us here on Discord. I appreciate it. I appreciate everybody that, you know, has been in the mocks and joining the mocks and just making this a really fun experience. I appreciate each and every one of you. I did want to mention one last time that we do have the Going for Two charity that goes directly to Fantasy Cares. You can find that under the announcements channel if you want to donate. We're trying to beat last year's number of $2,222. When I go live on the Podathon in July, I usually announce our final number, which is always pretty cool to do. So if you haven't done it yet, go find that and donate, even if it's $5. Every little bit helps, and we really appreciate it. All right. For Dan, for Dustin, for Jim, Jeff, and for Josh, we are signing out. Everyone have a good night.
Bye.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.